You ever wondered why people are bored with church? I mean, it happens, right? They come each week, they sit through the service, they look at their watch the entire time, they think about anything other than where they are, and they bolt for the exit as soon as the closing prayer is offered. And if I just described you, you don't have to raise your hand, but there may be some of you in church today that applies to. How about why people get frustrated with church? You know, they complain about everything and everyone. They aren't excited about anything at all. They're just frustrated. Day after day, week after week, they're just frustrated. Or why do people leave a church? They stick it out for a little while, but things don't get better. Eventually, they move on to another church, and the cycle repeats itself after a period of time of getting bored, getting frustrated, and then eventually leaving. And here's the thing. This is not isolated. This happens everywhere in every church. There are people who just, it happens to. And I don't think it's always the fault of the person that it happens to. Sometimes there are other factors involved. And today, I want to make sure that this doesn't happen to you, that this is not where you end up. And what I'm going to do is lay out the blueprint for you so you know the path to follow. Three steps, that's all I'm going to give you. Three. Imagine that, a preacher giving you three steps. I know, it's crazy. But if you do these three things, you will never be bored. Okay, that's a promise. You will never be bored if you do these three things. You may get frustrated, but you'll be frustrated at the right things. Because let's be real, people are not perfect. There will be occasions where you could get frustrated with someone or something because it's not in line with whom God has called the church to be. If we've drifted away from true north, okay, true north doesn't change, you know? North is always north. And true north never shifts. Everything else can shift around it, but true north always remains true north. And if we have drifted away from true north, that should frustrate you. Okay? It's what God has called us to. It's what we've been unpacking all throughout this series. We've been describing our true north. What does that look like for us? And what we're going to talk about today. And if we drift away from that, it should frustrate you. And I expect you to tell me. I've had people in the church since we've started who've come up to me and said, Jeff, I don't know. I could be wrong. But, and they'll share something with me. And sometimes I'm like, well, let me pray about that, you know? But there's other times where I'm like, you know what? God's already been dealing with me about that. And I want to thank you for sharing that with me because you're confirming what God has been showing me. And there needs to be an alignment, a realignment that takes place. There needs to be a shift in our focus that has to take place because God is shifting us back to our true north. Does that make sense? God does not just speak to the pastor, church. I hope you know that. The Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us, and God can use you to affect the direction. Now, God has called me to lead. God has put me out in front. I get that. But here's the thing. God has a voice that he wants to use you to speak into other people's lives, to speak into the vision of Trilogy, to help us understand how we're going to make that become reality. So don't ever be afraid to share what God is speaking to you. And how about leaving the church? Leaving, you know, if you do these three things, leaving would be the furthest thing from your mind because it would be like running away from home because it will seem so foreign to you. You would only want to leave for the right reason. Is there a right reason to leave a church? Yes. If that church's unique expression of living out the Great Commission at that church, it doesn't align with your heart and direction, if God is leading you somewhere else, then yeah, you need to go find a church that lines up. But here's the thing. In way too many churches, way too many people use God as a scapegoat as to why they're leaving when the issue is their own unwillingness to live out what God has called every church to be. And at the end of the day, if you feel like, and many of you guys have heard me say this a billion times, but if you feel like this, the direction God has called Trilogy to go is not the direction he has called you to go, tell me so I can help you find a church that aligns with where God is leading you. And I will help you. I will not be bitter. I will help you. because I don't want someone sitting here week after week feeling bored and frustrated and out of alignment and sitting here saying, this is just not right. Well, then let me help you find right. Don't be frustrated. Find the right church. But if you believe that Trilogy is going in the direction that you believe God has called you to go, then buckle up because you need to get involved. The time is not for you to sit here and watch it happen. The time is for you to help make it happen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. One of the main reasons people get bored, frustrated, and eventually leave is because they don't understand what they're supposed to do. They just don't know. Or they're unwilling to do it. That's the other side. We all want to be part of something. We all want to contribute to something, to make something better, more effective, to feel like we're making a difference. That's part of human nature. We all want that. And the difference that we are supposed to make is found in the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the difference we are supposed to make. And the way we're supposed to do that is found in the book of Acts, the early church. They knew what they were supposed to do. Jesus had just told them. If they forgot that quickly, we're all in trouble. They did what Jesus told them, and they waited for the Holy Spirit to show up and baptize them with power to get the job done. That happens at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. It's a powerful story of when the Holy Spirit was initially outpoured and the early church received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it changed everything. And then they did it. And this is what it looks like in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. All the believers, not just a few, not just those who felt they were called to it, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That is just a powerful descriptor of what we are called to and what it should look like when it is lived out. They knew what they were supposed to do, and they did it, and they could see the difference that they were making in the lives of people. And I think that's one of the biggest frustration points of church folk today, is they don't see a difference being made. And if you don't see a difference being made, it should frustrate you. I get frustrated when I don't see a difference being made, and I'm the pastor. So we all should. So today, here's the thing. If you don't know what is expected of you, you're never going to be able to make that difference. And so I don't want that for any of you. So today I'm going to quickly lay out for you what all of us are supposed to do, the plan, the strategy, the blueprint, how we get the job done. This is what is expected of all of us. And the first thing is this. If we are going to get the job done, we are to celebrate his story. That is the first thing that we are called to, okay? It says in that passage, they worshiped together at the temple. They worshiped together at the temple. They came together regularly for moments of celebration, of lifting up the name of Jesus. They celebrated his story, who Jesus is. This is about what we are doing right now, gathered together in this room, Sunday mornings. This is about his story. It's not about you. This is about Jesus. So one of the main reasons people get bored and frustrated is because they walk in here with the misconception that this is about me. Well, I didn't like this, or this didn't meet my need, or this didn't minister to me, or I didn't like the way this happened. When you make it about you, you will always find something to be frustrated about. This is a moment to celebrate Jesus. This is a moment to lift up the name of Jesus in this place, to declare how glorious he is, to declare his praises, to worship him, to hear from his word. That's what this is. This is a huge point. If you've made it about you, you will be frustrated and bored. And eventually you're going to leave. And that cycle will not stop until you get to the place where you don't make it about you. Every time we gather here on a Sunday, it is to celebrate Jesus and to tell his story. Celebrate Jesus and tell his story. Worship. It is an opportunity to get excited about who Jesus is in our lives and what he has done for us. Guys, worship is not a spectator sport. It is participatory. Get involved. Actively worship. That's going to look different for everybody in the room. I'm not asking you to pick the most demonstrative person in the room and say, I have to worship like them. I'm saying whatever active looks like for you, do it. But sitting here thinking about the fact that the Cowboys start at 3 o'clock today is not actively involved in worship. Or maybe they play tonight. I don't remember. But regardless, we need to actively engage in our worship moment. Communion. It's when we celebrate communion together, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. It's not a time for you to say, oh, I really don't like the taste of this juice. It's probably been in this cup for like 4.5 years. And this piece of styrofoam. Who cares? We are in a moment. Don't tell me you've never had that thought as you've received communion. Okay? But this is a moment to celebrate what Jesus has done. Remember his sacrifice. Baptism. When we celebrate baptisms, these are touchdown end zone celebrations, people. I mean, this is it. This is the moment. We should go nuts when we baptize people. No golf clap moment, church. This is celebrating what Jesus has done. When we hear from the Word of God, when sermons are preached, they point to the cross. Every service, we will give someone an opportunity to follow Jesus. It's important that we do that each and every week. And some of you guys have heard that from me. Let me just tell you, this is every week you will hear from me that your sin has separated you from God. Romans 3 tells us that. Romans 6 tells us that the penalty for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, because God loves us so much that he chose to make a way out of that, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6 tells us both of those things. What does that look like? Romans 5 tells us God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us, and then he was resurrected 3 days later. And because of that, because of the sacrifice Jesus made, once again, pointing to him, we now can be forgiven, set free from the penalty for our sin, and restored into right relationship with God. Each and every week we gather together, you will hear that. Why? Because there may be somebody in this room on that given week who needs to hear that truth for the very first time or be reminded of it again. Or maybe you're going to meet somebody this week that you can share that with. And having heard it this past Sunday, it's a great refresher course for you to be able to share. Regardless, you're going to hear that each and every week. We come together every week to celebrate the story of Jesus Christ. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do. So number one, gather on Sundays, celebrate his story. Number two, we connect our stories. We connect our stories. God has brought us together as a church family. Not church acquaintances, a church family. They met in homes and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. There was a sharing of life that took place. That does not happen by you sitting in front of somebody on a Sunday morning and turning around for 2.5 minutes in the middle of service and shaking their hand saying, glad you're here. That's not sharing life. Sharing life happens outside of this. For us, these are our neighborhood groups. Remember who you are with right now. You are with not just people, you are with family. We are brothers and sisters in God's family. And that means good and bad, through it all, we're in it together. To support, to encourage, to challenge, to grow, to disciple, to hold one another accountable, to cheer one another on. We're all of those things. That's what we are to one another. Our neighborhood groups meet in homes throughout the week. Our relaunch Sunday is today and next Sunday. And we are going to be giving you an opportunity after service. I'll talk about this more later, but we've got tables representing each one of our new neighborhood groups that you can sign up for. We have groups that are sermon-based that deal with questions that help you apply what the message was from the previous Sunday. We have our re-engaged marriage groups that will continue to meet. We have groups that are demographic, that are more around a specific age group. We've got community action groups that are more out in the community, making a difference and serving with a huge emphasis and focus on being the hands and feet of Christ. All of our groups should have that dynamic to them, but we have one group that is going to be a pretty focused bent that they pursue. And so all of these are different groups that you're going to be able to find more out about at the end of service today. And I'll give you more information about that later, about how to find the right group for you. But here's the key. You need to find one. It's not an option, folks. And this is what I was talking about. You want to avoid being bored. You want to avoid being frustrated, although your group may frustrate you at times. We've all been a part of neighborhood groups. I understand that. But you want to avoid being bored. You want to avoid being frustrated. You want to avoid walking away. Get involved in community and live that out. Okay? Connecting in community is not optional. It is central. It's foundational. It's who we are, and it's what we are called to be. I would argue that what we do in our neighborhood groups is equally important to what we're doing right now. I don't think it's more important. I think it's equally important. The Bible doesn't prioritize. It just says you do these things. You need to find a group that you can be a part of. We'll talk more about that later. And then finally, the last thing we need to do is contribute your story. They shared with those in need. Now, and what is contribute your story? This is you, personally, you, unique you, how God has wired and made you, how God has grown you throughout your life experiences. This is serving in the church. This is finding a place to contribute. This is giving and partnering with Trilogy in generosity. This is serving outside the church and getting active outside the church walls, both as a church in projects and ministries, but also just us living day in, day out, loving people to the best of our ability as God has loved us. This is serving outside the church. This is God using you to make the church us. God uses you to make the church us. God brought you here for a reason, and you have something to offer. And what you have to offer is not accomplished by sitting and staring at me on Sunday mornings for an hour and 20 minutes. When you give out of your time, your talent, and your treasure, you are making a difference in someone's life around you. Maybe even someone you will never meet. I was talking with Cash the other day about the effort going down to Houston with Hurricane Harvey. And we went and we helped rebuild a couple of homes with a team. And Cash was saying, the coolest part about that for me was one of those families we never met. Didn't have any contact with them, never saw them, never interacted with them. We did not even meet them, and yet we helped restore their house to livable condition. Not for the glory we would receive, not for the pat on the back or the attaboy, or to see somebody's eyes glisten up as they looked at their newly constructed home. No, we did it because the Bible tells us to. And so we may never meet people. We likely never will in that case. But we gave and we shared with those in need. And here's the thing, guys. When we celebrate his story, when we connect our stories, when we contribute your story, when you do those three things, you will never be bored in church. You will not get frustrated except for the right things. And you're not going to walk away because this will become your family. If you will commit to those three things, when you walk in this door on Sunday, I am here to celebrate the story of Jesus Christ. So in my neighborhood group, this is not when I can make it. This is not when I can, you know, carve out enough time when I don't have other things going on. Yeah, I'll go. No, that is the most important thing that happens to me during the week is I connect with my church family in my neighborhood group. If you will commit to that, and you will contribute what God has done in you through your story, this church will never be the same. Because here's the thing, if we all do this, here's the result in Acts 2:47. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It was not an accident. That was not just happenstance. That happened because they were committed to the mission that God had given them and to living that out strategically in the way that Jesus prescribed the church should function. This is what it looks like, guys. New stories will follow. Life transformation, not just behavior modification. Not just people acting differently, but people being differently being different. The Holy Spirit doing what only He can do in transforming us from the inside out. I want to remind you of what God showed me as we kick this series off, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, and then we're going to close. So whoever's coming up to play, come on, jump up with me here. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. This, I believe, is where God is leading us. I believe we are going to make rivers in a dry wasteland of people who need Jesus. And I believe it starts with us because we need Jesus. In our prayer time beginning the day, I told them that the word God has continued to lay on my heart is thirsty, that we need to be thirsty people. And that's going to mean something different to everybody. You know, for me, thirsty may be a deeper worship experience. For me, I need to be more thirsty for the Word of God. For others, thirsty about prayer. For whatever it means to you, thirsty can look different. But what I believe thirsty is, we need to be thirsty for the heart of God. We need to be thirsty for the heart of God. Because Jesus, when He was talking with the woman at the well, He said that there is a river that runs from the heart of God. And I believe that's where we need to put our attention and our focus on those things that move God's heart need to move ours. And we need to be thirsty for that. We've seen God do a lot since we started the church 3 years ago, but it's nothing compared to what He is about to do. And it's already begun. How are we going to get there? By celebrating His story, by connecting our stories, and by contributing your story. That's how it's going to happen. Our church will never be the same. Our community will never be the same. Our world will never be the same. Guys, there is no reason Trilogy Church cannot have a global impact because of what God is doing through you. In fact, as I read the Bible, I believe it's inevitable if we do what God has called us to do. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? We're going to pray, and then we'll jump into our neighborhood group time. Before we pray, I just want to ask you this morning, you heard me earlier share what the good news of Jesus Christ is, that He has made a way for us to be forgiven and restored to right relationship with God. And I just want to ask this morning, you may be here and say, you know, Pastor, I don't have that right relationship with God, and I would like you to pray for me that I could get my life right with God, that Jesus would forgive me today, and I could walk out of here knowing that I've been restored to right standing, that my sins are forgiven, that I am set free, and I'm on the right path. And I'd love to pray for you this morning. If God's speaking to your heart right now, I don't want you to walk away and feel like, oh, I missed it. I missed it. I should have responded. I should have acknowledged it, and I should have asked God to forgive me. But I want you to know right now He's here, and He's ready to forgive you. And if that's you, would you respond to God right now just real quickly by lifting your hand and say, yeah, pray for me. Because I want to know I'm right with God before I leave this place today, and I will. All right, let's pray. God, thank You for what You're doing in us right now and for these really clear, almost simple steps of what it means to be the church. And I pray that You would help us to live this out, to put preference aside, and to focus on what You would have for us. And as we do that, God, would You transform us? By transforming us, transform Trilogy, transform our community, and transform this world. We thank You, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to end service, and I am going to put a complete ban on pack up for the next 15 minutes. No one is to pick up a chair. No one is to take down a curtain, and please don't leave either, because we still need you to do that. Okay? But no pack up for at least the next 15 minutes. Over there, and neighborhood group leaders, if you guys want to go to your tables, that'd be great. Is Melissa in here? Hey, babe. You want to head over to the potato? Thanks. All right. Each table represents one of our neighborhood groups. And I want you to notice something. See the end there? See that table at the end? Just a white tablecloth, nothing on it? It's the empty table principle. You know, if you've been a part of small groups for any period of time, there's this whole principle of the empty chair. There's always room for one more, you know, that type of thing. We want to understand that God always wants. We always have a need for more groups. So if God is leading you and directing you, and you feel like you might be willing to either open your home to host or lead a group, please talk to me, and we will talk about whether that's the right fit for you. But I want you to know that we have an empty table for that reason. So be thinking and praying about that as we move into the future. But here's the deal. Each table leader will share about the direction their group will go and what it will feel like, kind of the ethos of their particular group. Is it kid-friendly? Ask. Will there be food? Ask. Ask your questions. This is the time. Now, here's my instructions. You do not have to sign up today. There are sign-up sheets. You do not have to sign up today. In fact, unless you have a clear direction, I would encourage you not to sign up today. I would encourage you to gather intel and take this week and pray about it. Next week, we're going to have the table set up again, and you can sign up then. So if you already know and you really feel God's leading you, sign up. Go for it. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying it would be great for you to pray about it this week and hear from God about where you're going to go. Because try not to base your decision just on geography. Well, this one's closest to my house, so that's where I'm going to go. That may not be where God wants you, church. God may want you to the furthest one from your house. You may have to drive a half hour to your neighborhood group. I don't know. But if that's where God wants you, it's worth it. So think about it. I'm just going to walk down real quickly. So the Bryant's group, they're in Crossroads. Sirafa's group is, how do you define it, 20-somethings? Early 30s, 20-somethings, yes. So they're our demographic group. Cash and Mandy Seaman are in Denton, but their group is going to kind of be mobile a little bit, and they're our community action group. He'll describe that more. I'm not going to steal his thunder. Melissa and I will be at that table. We meet in Crossroads, and we have a potato on our table. Ask us about it. And then Ken and Terry Smith are in Providence Village, and they're going to be a sermon application-based group, right? Correct? Okay, and he can tell you more about that and what that's going to look like. But each one of these groups has something unique to offer, and I want you to explore that. I want you to ask questions. And here's my final point. Some of you have already been in a neighborhood group. I want you to feel right now like you have never been in a neighborhood group before. Okay? You do not need to sign up for the same group as before. Reach out of your comfort zone. We are going to do this every year. September through May is going to be our neighborhood group cycle. We will take the summer off, and then we will have a reboot in the fall again. September through May. So you're not going to be in the same group for the next 5 years of your life. We're going to do one-year cycles. And so that gives you an opportunity, because God's going to direct you to different groups in different seasons. All right? So where you've been in the past may not be where you go right now, but I want everybody to stand up. This is your opportunity. Go interact, ask questions, find out what's going on at those tables, eat all their food. And then in about 15 minutes, we'll start pack up.